Good afternoon. Today is Friday, August the 29th, 238th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon as we lead into Labor Day.
Two more days to go.
Mr. Quimby.
Before the end of the month, yes.
Yeah, that's okay. We started billing 30, today.
31. I finished my books for the month, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
You reading any books?
Am I reading any books?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now all that's taken care of, we'll get back and we'll talk about the show when we return.
Music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon. Today is... Yeah, we already did that one, didn't we?
We did that one.
I guess it must be 313 then, huh?
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay. Well.
Next.
Quote of the day.
Oh, okay. A leader takes people where they want to go. A great leader takes people where they don't necessarily want to go, but ought to be.
And a bad leader gets drugged there?
And so the question of the day then is, who determines where they ought to be? How was that judgment made? And it's made by power. So if you do national stuff, that was by Rosalind Carter. If you do national stuff, then state
that
stuff.
That wasn't Jimmy's mom, was it?
No, Jimmy's bride.
Jimmy's bride, okay.
Yeah. So you do national stuff, ought to be, they should do this, should do that. You do national stuff, state stuff, local stuff. That would be the county and the city. Then you do family. Well, how do mom and dad determine what kids ought to do, ought to feel, ought to think, ought to behave? So,
inertia.
How do you determine what your kids ought to be, think, feel? But that makes it too close. So let's deal with the theoretical, not your life.
Yeah.
Leave my life out of this, please.
Broaden it enough so that I might have an answer.
Yeah. How about your friends? How do they determine?
Yeah.
How do they determine?
Well, they come over to my place.
How their kids ought to be.
I would think a lot of it is just what you have grown up with.
Bingo. This stuff gets passed on from generation to generation to generation.
With certain deviations off the trail.
Variations based upon all sorts of interesting external and internal factors that occur, including parents thinking, updating themselves about how things could, should, would, might be.
Well, the literally dad syndrome. Okay, I went through that. I don't want to do that to my kids, so now I...
Tell them I'm not your dad.
Ratchet it. Yeah. Yeah. Don't have kids.
I don't have kids. Right.
Either ratchet it back a couple.
Right.
Or the kid doesn't play sports or, you know, however it might manifest itself.
But the syndrome has to do with parents living through their children.
I saw a great comedy skit. You'll love this one. Yeah. Then you can prove your point.
I don't got no points to prove, man.
Yeah,
I'm just
right.
A simple, easy going, laid back country therapist. I don't know nothing.
Yeah.
About
what
me.
Time is it? It was the Little League dad, but the kid was competing not on the athletic field, but a spelling bee.
Oh, already.
And taking the same approach to the spelling bee.
Oh, dear.
And, you know, guys are rolling, dying all over the place.
Oh,
just tearing up, laughing so hard. And yet, when you boil it all down to that grain of truth, you go, yeah, same.
Kids living, or the grown-ups living through their kid, which means the kid is a dancing girl, a dancing boy, as opposed to a life of their own. So I tell people, parents have two jobs. One, food, clothing, shelter, and do your homework. Two, pay attention to a child's personhood. How do you think? How do you feel? What's important to you? Why do you like that, not this? Why do you like your science teacher, but not your math teacher? You got a boyfriend or girlfriend? Bring them home for milk and cookies. We'll talk. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if you do that, then there's going to be discussions, hopefully, about why you ought to and ought not to do certain things. And for me, it's not about blind obedience, which is problematic. So I look at thinking.
I thought that was career protection.
You thought that was a good thing, blind obedience?
Well, I mean, from your perspective, career protection.
Blind obedience?
Sure. It keeps going. You don't have to worry about trying to develop new business.
Oh,
it's going to keep coming to you time after time after time.
There's plenty of business out there.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, no, you've completely derailed me. What am I going to do now?
You're talking about blind obedience.
Oh.
Which obviously I don't buy into on a regular basis here.
No, you certainly don't. Blind disobedience, maybe.
Yes.
Same as me, right? Strike that flag. If you have that discussion with kids about what you ought and ought not to do, then they're going to want to say, why? And then they say, because I said so. And then that's not enough. So you got to go into how do you think about those things. And you think about ABC, alternatives, beliefs, and consequences. And then you have that discussion with the kids about what the alternatives are, what the beliefs are, and what the consequences of acting out those alternatives and beliefs. And the kids go, oh, well, I guess you're wrong then, Dad. And then Dad starts over again. So,
is it a sign of a, I wouldn't say well-adjusted, because who knows what that means, but of a healthy family dynamic if...
Well-adjusted is a 32-inch waist with a 32-inch belt. That's all.
And suspenders.
And suspenders. Can't be half safe.
If son, junior, daughter says no, wrong, throws a different perspective, and discussion occurs.
Then you get to discuss that.
Rather than...
reject it out of hand.
Or an emotional something or another. Yeah.
You're wrong.
Or,
not only
wow,
wrong,
you're
but
really
you're
right.
Dead wrong.
And you go to the far end of the other way, too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we don't need any discussion on this. We'll just see if we can get the world to do it your way, you sarcastic twit. Right. No, that's discussion. Discussion involves lots of gray as opposed to blacks and whites. Some of the discussion about consequences may be blacks and whites. What happens if you light up a joint in front of your 14 and you light up a joint in front of a policeman? Well, consequences and results vary depending upon the circumstances, time, place, purpose, and situation.
Oh, I thought you were going to say jurisdiction.
But if you do it often enough, the consequences are clear.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 324. So, we're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mr. Cormier.
Talking about crime and punishment. See, I've always been a big fan for less than felony convictions of community service. And I'd like to see a lot more people required to do community service.
Clean the gutters, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and traditionally then some union gets all bent out of shape because somebody's doing a job that they may, should, could, or would, might do. But I'm thinking about, like, clean the gutters. You go around France, Germany, and I'm surprised at how clean the sidewalks are. How clean the sidewalks are and the streets. And there's people sweeping and cleaning on some regular basis. It's honorable work. But if we had community service required, help out the old people, serve them meals, maybe read to them, visit with them, talk to them. I think it would make a difference, that particular consequence. But fining somebody $100 or $200, and then of course they don't pay, and then there's a warrant out for them, and then they don't pay that one either. But I think if there was some kind of involving community service, it could make a difference with how they relate to each other.
I wonder if you could do that in today's American society, considering the amount of drug usage that is there.
People show up stoned for their community service?
Well, or they're just not balanced because of past use. Would you want someone like that showing up and reading to grandma?
Okay, how about someone like that not showing up and reading to grandma, but cleaning the streets? That'd be fine.
Yeah.
That would certainly add value.
To a lot of folks.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's nice living in a clean town.
Wouldn't know.
Give them a stick and a bag, and a stick with a nail on it and a bag, and have a clean town. I think it's grand. There's lots of places that could be swept up.
Yeah, aren't there though?
So I'm all in favor of that particular.
So how do you teach consequences to your kids early, so that they understand rather than doing it as punishment?
Well,
in their teenage years, for sampling the liquor cabinet.
Punishment is generally done with feelings. And consequences generally occur without emotion. They're natural consequences. So if a kid doesn't pick up his toys, my grandma, for example, had a barrel. And this is in Yakima, and she kept it on the screened porch in the back. Yakima was hot country in those days. The screened porch in the back, and she would mention it to the kids twice. Pick up your clothes, pick up your toys, pick up your books, pick up your homework, pick up your schoolwork. And third time, it goes in the barrel. Everything went in the barrel except wet food. Cookies, candy, everything goes in the barrel except wet food. So my mom told me about this time. She said to her mom, "Mom, where's my crinoline jumper? I want it for school tomorrow." She said, "I don't know, dear. Did you look in the barrel?" So she picks this thing out of the barrel and goes, "Mom, would you iron this for me?" "No, dear." No, sweetheart. No, my darling. No anger, but just natural consequences. If you don't take care of your stuff, this is what happens to it in this house. So how many times have you heard about people who walk away from their books, their jackets, their cell phones in restaurant? Just
pretty routine.
It's pretty routine. They don't keep track of that. So some people are like cats. They do a little turnaround before they sit down, and they do a little turnaround afterwards to check their space, see if there's anything down there that belongs to them. And if not, they go. So people leave their notebooks in my office, and then they come back next week and they say, "Have you seen," or they leave their notebook somewhere and they come back and say, "Do you have my notebook?" And I go, "No." And they go, "Damn, I know I left it somewhere. Where did it go?" Not the faintest idea. And then some people say, "Well, you know, if I didn't have two kids, I wouldn't be doing this." Really?
Forgetting things?
Forgetting things. If I didn't have two children to distract me all the time, I wouldn't be forgetting my cell phone all the time. And I'm going, "Oh, that's interesting. So then what you're doing is presenting the three ways that children learn from parents."
Blame.
Modeling, instruction, reinforcement. So they're modeling for their children to forget stuff because of other people's distraction. So guess what's going to happen when they get married? They get to blame their partner, blah, 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 right? "If I didn't have two kids, I wouldn't be forgetting things." No, that's not the way it works. There are lots of people with two kids who don't forget their watch, their radio, their cell phone, their blah, blah, blah.
So that's just how they grew up, or that becomes the easiest whipping boy?
Yeah, it's an easy whipping boy, and it's an emotional whipping boy, as opposed to making decisions about how you want to run your life and what procedures you want to follow. So maybe leaving your cell phone is not a big deal. If you got a burner phone, you go to Radio Shack and buy another one. But people routinely lose their car keys, lock their car keys indoors, forget their car keys. Now what?
It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. This afternoon we're talking a little bit about, well, a whole bunch of different things.
Power and what people ought to do and how do parents teach their kids about what they ought to do.
Is it natural for kids to test limits?
Absolutely.
What about those that don't?
There's a hitch in the giddy-up somewhere if they don't test limits. They somewhere, that's been my experience, kids who don't test limits overtly are not paying attention to their own sense of personal power, and so they're generally made a decision not to push that because of intimidation or fear.
So you almost want to encourage?
Well,
if it's not happening?
I want to talk to the parents about how they deal with confrontation. All right, kids, don't backtalk me. I don't allow no sass. Oh, really? The short form of that is I don't allow my kids, I encourage my kids to think or challenge authority or ask me why. That's the short form of I don't allow no backtalk or no sass. Well, now, backtalk and sass that are impulse-driven or feeling-driven or undignified, that's fine. But what about saying, Dad, why is that important? Why should I have to do that? Why should you have to do what? Not hit my sister. Does your sister like that? No. What happens if you hit her? She hits me back. You like that? No. So if you don't hit her, then she doesn't hit you back. Yeah? Duh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, kids think about lots and lots of things. And depending upon the atmosphere in which they grow up, there is or is not varying degrees of permission to talk about, confront, explore, discuss one idea or another about that stuff. And to the extent that permission is not available much, kids go underground. And if they're not supposed to confront authority or mom or dad or learn about their own authority, then they go inside and then it occurs, the confrontations occur passively. And kids always own...
Gee, Dad, I don't know about that tire.
Yeah. Kids always own the products of their brain and their body. That's theirs to play with. So it's, I don't know, I wasn't there, I didn't do it, it wasn't my job, nobody told me, I was on vacation. What? Huh? So they always own the products of their brain and their body. And one of the ways to get even with arbitrary or capricious or unthoughtful authority is passive aggression. And it makes tight, rigid authority just absolutely nuts bonkers. I told you that when you were 5. Did you forget? I'm sorry, Dad. I didn't mean nothing by that. Kid's now 15, right? Dad, would you tell me again, Dad? All right, I'll tell you again for the 1,000th time. A little metaphor there. And then the kid forgets it the very next day. I'm sorry, Dad. Can you forgive me? Well, what do you do when a kid says, can you forgive me? I mean, that's a natural appeal for, all right, son, settle down here. We'll go through this one more time. And then he beats the kid to death with his tongue one more time. And the kid goes, cool, I got him. I can make him give me this lecture anytime I want to hear this lecture.
Conscious or subconscious?
It tends to be a little bit of both, actually. So father bays this kid in high-intensity words and feeling tone, which everybody requires if you're a human organism. You got to have some intensity and emotion in your life. The difficulty is that that's all Dad's got to deliver. So the kid grows up on lecture 27, lecture 48, lecture 37, and he trains Dad how to repeat them at will. I'm sorry, Dad, I forgot. Will you tell me again, please? All right, son, I'll tell you again for the 1,000th time. Now listen up. And then the kid gets bathed in these this long lecturette. Go, okay, Dad, thank you, I appreciate that. Well, now you got a kid who's very compliant but passive and avoidant. So it's going to happen again.
Attention-getting devices?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
is that
yeah.
As simple as that?
Yeah,
is?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And kids learn this by repetition. They watch the way that parents reinforce. It's repetitions. And so the instruction, the wording, don't do that, do this, the words have little or no meaning to a kid because the kid's going to do what he wants anyway, as long as he's out of earshot of Dad and he's not caught, right? That's the first rule of passive aggression is don't get caught. First rule of Fight Club, don't talk about Fight Club. First rule of passive aggression is don't get caught. And if you are caught, deny it. And if your denial is confronted, act stupid. Interesting thing about the game of stupid. The game of stupid is not to prove that the other person, or that I am stupid and I'm controlling this. The game is to prove that my dad is stupid, or my therapist is stupid, and then I can get them to talk to me and tell me what to do and how to do it and what to think and why to think it and what the consequences are, hand. So I can maneuver and control other people to tell me about my stupidity. And, of course, I don't do anything about it. So what happens is then the other person, the therapist or the mom or the dad, winds up frustrated, feeling impotent, and feeling stupid.
And that's the payback?
That's the payoff for the game of stupid. The stupid player is not. And they wind up triumphant, having won again to get Dad to tell him lecture at 47. I'm sorry, Dad, I forgot.
So what is the currency?
Is words
it
and
power
feelings.
And control?
Words, feelings, and power. They're combined. That's politics, religion, child rearing. Words, feelings, and power, marriage, right? So it's a merry-go-round. So words have meaning. People have a lot of things associated with certain words. And if they don't pay attention to their different associations, then they're working at cross purposes.
KINS, News and Information Time, 3:43.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with
indeed.
Luke Wimby, noted, let's see.
I don't know. Simple Country Therapist?
No. I was thinking noted. Pest control.
Wordmonger? Pest control.
Yeah. You said you want to talk about mice.
Oh!
So I'm trying to, rodent expert?
I was thinking about words have meanings that people have to talk about to get on the same page. If I say
no leaping to conclusions.
No leaping to conclusions. If I say big, it's a big deal, and you say no, it's not. And I go, yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it. I want to know what you mean by it's not a big deal. It's a little deal, and I want to tell you why I think it's a big deal. So we have to get on the same page about feelings and values and why this is or is not a big deal for me or for you. So I ask people, do you know why mice have small balls? And there's a moment of silence, and they go, no. Then I say, not many of them know how to dance. Then there's another moment of silence, and they go, huh? What does that mean? So then I have to explain.
The delayed punchline here.
Yeah. And they still didn't get it, right? So then I explain that mice don't do masquerade balls or New Year's Eve balls or Halloween balls or graduation balls.
At some point, hopefully, this dawns on them.
A masquerade ball is a dance ball, yeah. Right? And then sometimes they go, and then sometimes other people go, huh? They just still don't make the connection, right? Well, if they don't make that connection, then there's got to be more words to describe what that means. So if people are really black and white and locked into, no, there's no explanation, do it because I said so. We're not talking about understanding this. Just do it because I said so. Then if you get over-compliant children growing up, they start maneuvering and manipulating behind lines because there's no permission to discuss, look at, enjoy, evaluate. They just have to do it because daddy says so.
Does that change by situation?
Well, one of the situations that changes that is when kids go to school or go to college.
It's exactly what I was thinking in a discussion classroom.
Yeah, they go to school, they go to college, and they get all kinds of different inputs from other kids on the playground, in the classroom, from the teachers.
Or permission to ask.
It can be directly from the teacher. Billy, what do you think? And Billy goes, wow, that's refreshing. Nobody's ever said that to me before. I don't know what to say. I don't know, teacher. Okay, I'll get back to you. No pressure. Just leave it alone. Let it soak there. Billy's got this new concept about somebody asked me what I'm thinking. Wow. I don't know. Is this safe? And then other kids talk about what they're thinking, and the teacher does not laugh at them or put them down or be critical out of hand. And Billy goes, oh, it's safe to say what I'm thinking in this classroom. And then they start doing that in the classroom. Not at home. So they learn then that there's two sets of values. There's home values for the intimate engagement, and there's public values, like for school. Well, if they live that way at home long enough, that's the set of values they're going to use to choose a partner.
And the home setting or the public setting?
The intimate setting. The public setting is what they'd use to make a living. And then they go to Rotary and make a living. But the intimate engagement, don't confront authority, is what they use for the marriage.
Well, hopefully somebody will be able to blend the two together.
My wife never questions my authority.
She just dismisses it out of hand. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.